she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle word on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
Hey, listen, Gidget, it's surf music.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Softly smile, I know she must be kind.
Jerry Bader Show, 1007, The Beach Boys, Good Vibrations. Remember the other day I was saying that CSNY has some of the best harmony ever? Yeah, the Wilson Boys, they weren't bad either, huh? Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I grew up with classic rock-loving brothers who thought these guys were a bunch of pansies, and this was, you know? As I grew older, I a real appreciation for... Oh, yeah. No, I do love the Beach Boys. Absolutely. All right. I want to apologize to a listener. I kind of went off on the deep end. I didn't mention his name, though. When he didn't understand what I was saying, he goes, you know, some of us are at work and you can't hang on your every word. Well, you work on that then. Because you really should. Because it's extremely important. All right. Just having a little fun. Speaking of... words not being heard. Jason, before I do this, I would appreciate if you could do a little experiment there. If you could just open a Google tab and type in Justice Clarence Thomas, Northern Liberal Elites Racist. Okay, it's Liberal Elites. ELITES. Racist. And you want to actually, okay, go ahead and do that, but we want to make sure, now go ahead and search that. Is that a news search or a web search? Click on news. Because before I say what I'm about to say, let's look at the top. BizPak Review, Daily Caller, Mediaite, highly cited National Review Online. Opinion, New York's Times. Okay. We do have a mainstream media outlet. Fox News has it. Scroll down a little bit. NPR, MSNBC. Yeah, okay. There are CNN. Justice Thomas' comments spark fresh debate on race. Now, scroll back up because I'm pretty sure I'm going to want you to click on that New York Times one. Yes. Thomas speaks blindly about race, and that is from black columnist Charles Blow, who we have quoted on the show before. Here is what Justice Clarence Thomas said. The only sitting black justice on the U.S. Supreme Court told a gathering in West Palm Beach, Florida, Tuesday, that he was treated with more respect by Southerners during the pre-civil rights days than he is today by politically correct northern white elite liberals. The worst I've ever been treated was by northern liberal elites, the absolute worst I have ever been treated, Associate Justice Clarence Thomas said at a Palm Beach Atlantic University, according to Yahoo News. The worst thing that has been done to me, the worst things that have been said about me are by northern liberal elites, not by the people of Savannah, Georgia. Instead of society becoming more colorblind, the goal of the late civil rights leader, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Thomas observed that Americans have become more race conscious. My sadness is that we are probably today more race and difference conscious than when I was in the 1960s, when I went to school. To my knowledge, I was the first black kid in Savannah, Georgia, to go to a white school. Rarely did the issue of race come up, Thomas said during a chapel service at the non-denominational Christian University. Now, name a day it doesn't come up. Differences in race, differences in sex. Somebody doesn't look at you right. Somebody says something. Everybody is sensitive. If I'd been as sensitive as that in the 1960s, I'd still be in Savannah. Yahoo reported, Thomas spent his childhood in a place and time in which businesses and government services were legally segregated. In his 2007 memoir, My Grandfather's Son, he described his experience growing up as an African-American in Georgia during the Jim Crow era. Now, this, of course, has the liberals screaming. Now, if you would, give me Charles Blow's New York Times piece. Thomas speaks blindly about race. Associate Justice Clarence Thomas doesn't often speak during oral arguments before the Supreme Court, but often what he says outside the chamber is eyebrow-raising. Such was the case Tuesday, when Thomas told an audience at Palm Beach Atlantic University, "My sadness is that we are probably today more race and difference conscious than I was in the 1960s when I went to school. To my knowledge, I was the first black kid in Savannah, Georgia, to go to a white school. Rarely did the issue of race come up." And then Blow says all of the things that I quoted Thomas as saying, including, "The worst I have been treated was by Northern liberal elites, the absolute worst I've ever been treated." Here's Blow's commentary. "There is so much to unpack here that one hardly knows where to start, but let's start here. The racial reality of blacks in the South in the 1960s was that, race, and difference consciousness was virtually inescapable and often stifling. It's unclear to me whether Thomas is being amnesiac in his recollections or if he was contemporaneously oblivious. Either way, being unable to acknowledge and articulate the basic fact that race was and remains a concern for others is disturbing. The second thing, is he suggesting that we essentially stay silent and suck it up? Would that be an admirable strategy for overcoming oppression? It isn't. This would be a particularly unsettling concept coming from a sitting justice who should be able to apply proper perspective to plaintiff grievance and understand broad societal circumstances. One thing that I will submit, however, is that the emphasis must shift from discussions of interpersonal racism, which I would argue are waning as they become socially unacceptable, to systemic and institutional biases, which remain stubbornly infused throughout culture. And I think it's just reverse. Anyway, interpersonal incidents of racism are easy to identify and condemn, particularly as their prevalence dwindles. We do hear too much about these at the expense of discussions about the systemic and institutional biases that are harder to see. It's the old can't see the forest for the trees problem, and that rarely have individual authors. This bias is obscured by anecdote, but quite visible in the data sets. And aside from Thompson's swipe at liberals, I do, in fact, believe that he has been the target of racism, even in elite settings. But that's the thing about racism. It's no respecter of station. There's a tinted glass ceiling that only a few can break through, and none without scarring. This upper echelon bias can be particularly frustrating and galling for people who have the right gifts, make the right choices, go to the right schools, and perform well at the right jobs, as the author Ellis Coase illustrated 2 decades ago in his brilliant book, The Rage of a Privileged Class, Why Are Middle-Class Blacks Angry? Why Should America Care? You can't individually achieve your way out of racism. This remedy is collective. And as long as racism is operational, Justice Thomas's fate is caught up with that of his racial compatriots. What a crock. He is completely evading Thomas's point here, that it is liberals who cannot stand the thought of a black conservative. That's what Thomas was referring to here. And Blow tries to say, yeah, well, even if you make it big in the world, there's elites who will treat you bad because you're a black guy. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about liberals who don't think he's the right kind of black guy. Charles Blow, that's what he's referring to. Swipe at liberals. The entire context of his point was even in Jim Crow South, and he's not saying Jim Crow South was Nirvana. He's not saying that. What he is saying is he cannot be accepted, and he is treated more harshly by Northern liberal elites than the white Democrat Southern racists of the Jim Crow South. By the way, interesting, it was Democrats both times. That's what he's saying. He is vilified for being a black man who thinks black leadership is wrong on race. And for that, he's not just criticized, he's ostracized. That's the point he's making. The white, tolerant, liberal elite of the East Coast hate him. They hate him. They think he's an idiot. That's the point. He goes on. This kind of talented 10th sniffing at the plight of the rest is privilege blind. It views the condition of success as universal rather than unique and ignores the inequities and obstacles that might prove more bedeviling or even insurmountable for those. This is just a bunch of high-minded sounding pap. That's all that it is. He is evading Thomas's point that the racism he faces is ideology-based. I was going to say ideologically, but ideology-based. Black people aren't supposed to think the way he does. You know, that's what the Klan thought, putting all these crazy ideas in these black folks' head. That is the way the liberal white elite think. They know what blacks should think and believe. So did George Wallace. So did Bull Connor. That's exactly his point. And this is not all of the elite, Charles Blow, just the liberal white elite. What a fraud. What a fraud. And then he takes it off as, open up that email, Jason. He puts it off as, well, no, he just doesn't understand. Not that one. Mary's. The author actually demonstrates Thomas's point. He can't even consider the possibility that Justice Thomas knows exactly what he experienced and said exactly what he meant. Yes, as though the Jim Crow South was hypothetical to Clarence Thomas, when it wasn't at all. And at any point in this, does he defend against the allegation against the liberal white elite? No, and said, well, yeah. Even if you succeed, the people at the top are going to tinkle on you because you're black. That's not what's happening here. He's not talking about conservatives having a problem with him. It's one half of the elite, the liberal elite. You think he could take any time actually addressing that specific allegation? No, of course not, because he knows it is spot on. All right, I got into an email feud with a global warming Kool-Aid drinking liberal. I'm going to get to that in a bit. 10:19.
The Jerry Bader Show.